American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, January 16th, 2006. Not five.
Not five anymore.
That's always a problem.
Got to update that every year.
When you do that. As a matter of fact, I should redo this. Hang on, let me try this again, because I haven't done the new show intro yet. I've got a few ideas for a new show intro.
Okay.
Because I wanted to do a new one, because now it's just here's Sean Kennedy, but you're the current co-host
of the
show.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And what are you doing closing the door? Anyway, my wife's just like, oh, God, he's screaming in the bedroom with his friends again. Well, let's try that intro again. Good day! This is Sean Kennedy and Sumerian. You see what I'm saying? That's
why. I see.
Reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, January 16th, 2006. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG global sit rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your head, space, and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio podcast. This is a podcast. It's a podcast. It is a podcast. I meant to do that. This is a free radio podcast. That's tight. I mean, does anyone even know what bod is anymore?
Better Google that.
Podcasting?
Yeah,
I just made that up right now. It's a free radio podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, W1Mind Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this podcast any way that you see fist.
I see a fist.
I'll get back to you on that. It's an acronym for something. It's as you see fist, a free
first,
free international
internet.
Secure transmissions. Yeah! That's what it is. Don't even fuck with me. So, how was your week? Any new news? Any new things happening in your life? Anything that we need to know about?
No, nothing that people need to know about.
Okay. No, that's cool. I'm just wondering, is there anything happening with rant or anything like that?
Not really. Taking it easy.
Taking it easy. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Do you got any more Neil Young for me to put on the end of my...
I didn't bring any Neil Young for you.
No Neil Young?
Damn. some heavy, kind of depressing music.
Some heavy Neil Young music? Yeah. No Neil Young. Okay. Well, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Did you pick out
the song for the end?
I've got a song for the end. I was just thinking now that I don't really have music for the background. So what I think I'm going to throw in the background is I'm going to throw just a medley of stuff in the background here. You know, just different things.
Some 80s rock?
Some 80s rock would be good. Maybe if I had an old Motley Crue CD, that might be fun. Kickstart My Heart or something like that. But you know, we don't have much time. We've only got an hour, and we always like sauce the show. So
they don't want to hear about
they
us.
They don't want to hear the well. They do because I think the show now. I enjoy having you on the show much better because it's enjoyable.
Thank you.
You know, it's enjoyable having you here. You know,
give you a bit of a breather every 2 seconds.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you're here to represent. You know,
a different
political view. You know, I mean, I've got my political views, and you got your political views.
True.
And I'm like, you got to admit that rant, on the whole, majority of shows on rant kind of agree with you.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know.
Maybe not. Well, that's true.
It's a good mix, actually.
Is it a pretty good mix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And luckily, this show isn't too extreme. So no, it's not. I mean, we're very central. This show is about the truth, you know. That's what it's about, you know, and that's what it is.
Never-ending quest for the truth.
Because
we can never be quite sure.
I got a new badge. That was new for me.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I got a new badge.
What is it? Where is it?
I don't know where it is.
I'm
trying to figure out where it is.
Is it a hat badge?
Yeah, it's a hat badge. I got a new one. And it says Poos. It says it's a big green... badge. I'll find it. I'll describe it to you because it really can't see it anyway. But it's a big, like, it's about the size of, about the size of a top of a soup tin.
Okay.
Round, okay. And it's olive drab, and it's got black embroidery on it. It's got a black peace symbol on it, on the olive drab. And then around the outside, it says peace through superior firepower.
Yeah, that's great.
It's sweet. Yeah, I really enjoy it. So I'm trying to figure out what to do with that one, because now I've still got another Rant Radio badge that I've got to go and get that, put Velcro on the back of that. You've got one of those Velcro hats, because those are pretty tight. I don't know if you've seen those. They're like the Velcro hats.
Yeah, I have. Those are handy. You can mix and match
your patches.
What you feel like that day.
Well, I've only got my workout hat, which is a cryo cam hat that I put like a Canadian peg on the Canadian peg. The mouth is broken.
It's not working.
The mouth is broken, man. I mean, this is terrible. Yeah, Canadian flag on the front. And I got my O positive blood type thing I put on the back. And I always wear that when I'm working out and I feel like all badass and stuff. And especially in the rain, when you're running with weights in the rain, people look at you like you're possessed by Satan. And they're like, oh my God!
He's crazy!
He's crazy! But speaking of crazy, let's get to some feedback. Dear Masters of Rant. That's a very epic rock. I think we need to start.
Masters of Rant.
Masters, blood on my microphone, steel in my fist. You know, totally. Oh, yeah, you could totally just epic rock that right up. Can you do a heavy metal scream?
I don't want to attempt it.
Oh, come on, but you're a singer. You got to promise me
you have
to put a heavy metal scream somewhere in the new Porn on Beta.
No way.
Why not?
That would fit not at
you
all.
You could put it as like an extra, like track 50 or something, you know?
Like buried deep.
Like, you
fast
know
what forward 16 you minutes into the last
and now,
song.
Now, for Sean, the heavy metal scream. Masters of Steel.
Doesn't quite work with synth pop, EBM kind
of
stuff.
Well, you know, be bold, man. Be bold and fresh. Make epic synth pop. Epic synth pop. Right up there. It's a revolutionary day. We got podcasting and epic synth pop.
That's right. Making up things left and right.
Hot. Okay, anyway, back to Masters of Rant.
Masters of Rant.
That's right. I can't improvise fast enough to do the lyrics to Masters of Puppet.
It's very fast song.
It's a very fast puppet. Very fast puppet. It's a very fast puppet. Oh, it's a fast puppet. Anyway.
You are.
Yes, you are. What an incredible thing you have achieved with Rant Media. I wonder if I should sing this. You know, because it's kind of
what
like...
What an incredible thing.
Well, no,
you got to do the
epic. What an incredible thing you have achieved with Rant Media. Anyway, I've been listening for 2.5 years. Only been listening for 2.5 years of the 7 years you've been broadcasting.
That's so weak.
Well, you got to know that these people, it's like, man, I've been listening for 5 years. And they're like, ooh, and like old timer, you know. And that you've been broadcasting. But in a relatively short time, I've been ceaselessly impressed by what you have been able to do. Mm-hmm. And you should see us in person. Can you wiggle your ears? Oh, wow.
I can.
Sim can wiggle his ears. That's crazy. So, I mean, that's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, patrolling five.
Wow.
Wiggle your ears. that you're able to produce such a quality of high-quality free content across so many media formats is a testament to your commitment to do the right thing, trademark. And a credit to you all. I am not lying when I say that Rant Media has had a tremendous effect on my life. You really opened my eyes to a lot of things and helped me make some very positive changes in my life and my environment. Thank you. The world's a pretty crazy place to live at the moment. It makes you what you guys do all that more important. Congratulations to you all. Here's looking forward to another 7 years. Sounds like a parole hearing.
That's right.
Take care, Dark Nature. Well, thank you very much, Dark Nature.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now,
once in a while you need those emails.
You need an email. And, you know, I get so much email saying, Sean, I'm so happy that you've, you know, made the decisions that you've made lately. You know, Sean, you're so smart, you know. and stuff like that.
You are so smart.
You are so smart. You are so smart. S-M-R-T. Yeah, I've been getting those, like, nonstop. People have been just like, wow, you're awesome.
That's right. Well, so many. That's your mailbox that's overflowing.
It's brimming. My mailbox, my inbox overflowing with praise. So that's cool, you know. And but occasionally, you know, it's nice to see that they don't realize it's not just about me. It's about Rant and everything.
It's
so
about everything.
It's about
everything.
Everyone. So it's very, very cool.
Oh, and the new Pain came out, Pain 16.
Oh!
Volume 16.
Oh!
With the,
wow,
I think
are
the
we up to 16?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Jesus
with the second chapter of your story.
Oh, the Cybuticon. Yeah. So, yeah.
Along with some nice, like the layout is just amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. Capone X has done an amazing job. You can print it out and let's go. This is a
magazine.
A normal print magazine you could see on a shelf.
Well, it's handy he's got the second chapter because I think I know what direction I'm going to go with the Cybuticon. The kind of a funny story about that Cybuticon is I started writing it just because, you know, I was sitting down going, okay, how did everything get fucked? Right? So I started from scratch and I wrote this whole thing, right? And I'm like, okay, how did this get fucked? Meaning society.
Okay.
All right. So I'm illustrating all the points of society so that you can, you know, take the glasses off and look at how incredibly fucked our society has become. And now, when you're in that kind of a quagmire, which we're in right now, this is where you have to have a clear picture of where everything is and then try to figure out how to get out of it. You know, that's the whole idea.
Yep.
So the problem was is that I wrote up the quagmire, and then I couldn't really figure out how to get out of it. Just recently, though. Just recently, thanks to my pills, I've been able to figure out a way.
The magic pills you traded the cow for?
Yes, the magic pills. My magical pills. I've been getting emails from people saying, that HGH stuff doesn't work. It's all in your head. It's all in your head. I've got a couple of those.
Well, yeah. If it's all in his head, then it's working. Then they're working, aren't they?
Well, then it's all in my
they're
head.
They're a good placebo.
It's all in my head. I'm happy not feeling bad. I got sunshine in a bag. So we got the sort yourself out section of the show. This is quite a relevant sort yourself. I got this sort yourself out, and it's sort of the shows will be a lot tighter now. They're a lot more entertaining, a lot tighter. So,
We promise.
No, this is good. This is good stuff. Okay. I mean, this is way better than the old Sean Kennedy show. I mean, if you look at
it's
old,
the same people.
But it's a better format. We got a better show.
Okay.
You know, and it's not just like I think you're cool. You think I'm cool. I think
we're both cool.
We're both cool. Are you cool? We're cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Dear Sean and Sim, you ready for this one?
Okay.
I have a bit of a problem. About a year and a half ago, I got involved with a group. I got involved with a group.
Groups are bad.
Who were about fighting for the environment. At first, it was about the raising of awareness, flyers, posters, that sort of thing. But just within the last 6 months, it became more and more into direct action.
Okay.
The core leadership of this group invited me to go on some black ops with them. At first, it sounded cool, but now I'm not so sure. In the beginning, we were talking about flight club-style vigilante stuff, but I went around and did some spray painting and stuff like that. The next black off is they want to light some SUVs on fire at a local dealership.
Oh.
No one will be hurt. I don't really want to go through with it. I know that you and Sim are big believers in standing up for what you believe in, and the SUV dealership is insured, but I am still having second thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Am I just being, as you call it, SK, a pussy, or should I walk away from this? Could you please tell me why so I can make sense of it in my head 2 years from now? Thank you, blank slated.
Wow.
Well,
is lighting the SUVs on fire going to do anything
at
all?
Now,
other than burn some SUVs?
No. Well, I'm going to let you go first because, this is what he asked you. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, he wants to do direct action. If he does this, what will happen by burning the SUVs? Let's be objective.
Yeah.
Let's be objective. If he burns the SUVs, he'll definitely raise awareness to the fact that people are unhappy about the SUVs. You know what I mean?
For what reason?
Spray painting saying, polluter or whatever.
Okay. They'll have some inflammatory slogans going along with
it. Yeah, and it'll be like, torch these SUVs and they'll spray paint like Earth Liberation Front or whatever the hell on
it.
Okay.
Some SUVs will get burned. The insurance company will raise rates after they
for the dealership
or in general as well.
Or in general, but you can't say that for sure.
Not for sure, right. But at least for the dealership.
For sure the dealership, yeah.
Yep. The police will probably be looking for you.
Looking for someone, yeah.
Someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's
most people probably just get mad at it and go, "Well, that was stupid." That's probably not the best way to get your message out.
So what would you advise that this individual do?
Raising awareness is good because some people are not knowledgeable about the things that he may be talking about.
Sure,
a lot of people are sitting in ignorance about a lot of things.
That's true.
And just don't have the opportunity to know about what he is talking about.
And this is why we do what we do here.
Exactly. And this is raising awareness by telling people about stories that they may not have heard about.
That's right.
He may know things about the environment that I don't know about or you don't know about or other people don't know about.
So he should
may be going bad in our own backyards.
Absolutely.
Some huge corporation mowing down huge things destroying
terrible
the whole environment.
You bet. Could be destroying everything, and your friends could be on drugs, mind control. You don't know what could happen. Everything could be bad.
That's right.
So what's your counsel to this kid then?
I wouldn't go around burning SUVs because I don't see a very good result in that.
Okay.
There's not too many good things I can see coming out of that.
Hmm.
So I'll just skip that meeting.
Yeah,
maybe do the next one.
So Sim says skip that meeting.
And if that's all they're going to be into, then you might want to not be in that group anymore.
Yeah.
Because then you'll just get arrested
as
well for not even burning the SUVs.
Yeah, I concur.
Okay.
I concur.
So you say not to burn the SUVs as well?
Well, I'm going to go one better.
Okay.
Just recently, you know, in the view of some of the news stories, which we'll be covering later, which I'm not going to jump the gun and start talking about now.
Okay.
But just recently, I'm really getting pissed off with this kind of behavior. Like, this is ridiculous to me. If I was this kid, I would go straight to law enforcement and dump his guts. Mm-hmm. I'd just be like, okay, here's what's happening.
That's not a bad plan.
And I would just, I'd set it up as a sting. Because if he doesn't, like, say he walks, okay?
Yeah.
If he walks, well, this group's going to go there and do it anyway.
Very true.
And then he's an accessory.
Yeah.
Because if you
he
have
knows
knowledge
about it.
Yeah, if you have
very
knowledge
true.
Of a crime.
Very true.
If you have knowledge of a crime and you're affiliated with this group, because let's say, because they're fucking retarded, because they're a bunch of eco-terrorists, okay?
Yeah.
They're going to start burning shit, and they go, oh, no, it's going to get, you don't know that. You don't know that. This could touch
off
something.
Security guard is asleep in the back.
Yeah, it could touch off something across the street. It's fire. Fire is bad.
Is it
okay?
Going to be a controlled fire?
You don't know what this is going to do. This is a totally serious thing. So I would head down to your local law enforcement and say, I need to talk to somebody about something very serious. Yeah. And, you know, explain to them, say, listen, guys, I was putting up some posters. Okay, here's where I'm at. I was putting up some posters, okay? Yep. And yeah.
All legal, all good.
Right yep. here. I did some vandalism right here. Vandalism action right here. Spray painted this, okay?
Yeah.
But these guys are talking about doing some evil shit, and I don't want to be a part of it, and I don't want to see anybody get hurt and fucking spill your guts. The very least, you're going to get off scot-free.
Yeah.
Okay? And, well, these psychos who are trying to do this, because is this going to be the last thing they're going to do?
No.
Is this going to be the last thing that they're going to burn some SUVs and go, oh, that was it?
Especially if it's successful, it's not going to be a lesson.
Oh, Christ, no. I mean, they're going to need something.
Wow,
something.
We got away with that.
Oh, well, I guess we'll have to turn it up a notch. Kick it up just a few more degrees.
Let's burn the whole corporation's building down.
Yeah, let's torch the building, you know. And, well, there's people in there. What?
What's
more important?
Break a few eggs.
The environment or these few measly human lives? There's, what, 9 billion people on the planet? No! There's only a few whales! In news! So my thing, blank slated, is I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know what city he's from, okay, because it's actually fairly dangerous for him to even tell me that much, because if another person in the group listens to the program, he'll be like, whoa, so we've got a leak or whatever, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I would very seriously, yeah, you need to go to law enforcement, dude, and spill your guts. Rat them out and hang them out to dry, because what they're doing is, it's not direct action. That is terrorism. Direct action. That's an interesting thing. People talk about direct action. What is direct action? You know,
rather than talking about it, doing something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's the difference between blah, 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 blah. What we're doing here, this is a direct action thing. We are doing direct action because we are making a program. We are making a tangible thing which spreads a message. It's like,
I'd say half and half.
You think?
Yeah, because we are just talking.
We are
saying things.
We've also amassed a community.
Like do things.
Yeah, we've amassed a community.
Yeah.
There's a group of people who can communicate. There's like a whole network that's out there. So there's a certain degree of this show on its own is part of a larger direct action movement, I would say.
Yeah.
To, you know,
because we have done things and we've asked people to do things. And so there has been some direct action.
Yeah, there has been some. But I mean, nothing. Terrorism is when there's damage done somehow. You know what I mean? Where you're going to hurt somebody or damage property. Or
threatening people. Or
coercion or whatever,
Because this is terrorizing people to do something. It's like,
Jesus.
We're going to light your thing on fire.
Yeah.
Unless you stop doing what you're doing.
Ah. And
or we'll do more.
That's right. And this is going to be the new face of it, man. SWAT magazine called it, I tell you. But on a slightly more lighter note.
Yes.
We now have a new head-mounted display that is being unveiled, which I'm really, really happy about. So
you're happy about that?
I'm happy about that.
Look at it.
It's a head-mounted display.
It's a monstrosity.
It's for, well, okay, AOI sent this to me. It's from Monday, January 2nd.
If they drop that thing around the front of his head, then it'd be better. But.
Well, yeah, it'd be better if he had wings and he could fly. But technology isn't there. I'm just happy about this particular.
Yeah. It's good to make advancements.
A company that makes video display products for the military and industrial uses is setting its sights on a new market, the iPod. Now, this is kind of neat because this is what is the wearable computer has been coming for a while now. We still don't have the head-mounted display, but just recently, things are starting to come up. The Bellevue-based eMagin Corp. has developed a wearable headset that plugs into Apple Computer's portable media device and displays video in front of one eye using optical technology designed to give a picture of higher resolution and make it appear larger than the iPod screen. The system, dubbed the iBud 800, is another entry in the booming ecosystem of accessories and complementary products that has emerged around Apple's portable music player. But this isn't the realm of the $20 carrying case. Scheduled to debut in the first half of the year, the iBud is expected to retail for as much as $599. Okay, so it's actually $600, which is pretty cheap for a head-mounted.
Comparing to other ones, yes.
Yes, so it's coming down. This is why I'm reporting on it. eMagin's executives are betting on the notion of a virtual big screen will win people over. With the proximity of the screen to the eye, the magnifying effect of the company's optical technology, the company says that using the headset is akin to watching a 105-inch display from 12 feet away. I love it when they do this. It's like, wow!
A million-foot display from 2 miles away.
Exactly. You know,
what?
Suddenly, you've got this big screen, movie screen, home theater experience wherever you are, said Gary Jones, eMagin's president and CEO. The iBud system is a separate control module about the size of an iPod, which includes a rechargeable battery pack. The headgear might garner curious looks when worn in public, but eMagin executives say they expect people to get used to the appearances the same way that Bluetooth headsets are no longer uncommon.
You'll get used to it.
They'll get used to it. Just wear it, and they will adapt. eMagin will be among a sea of companies unveiling products and seeking to drum up interest in this week's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. So that was.
I don't know what the
cool
resolution specs are on that. Do you know?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. But, you know, when you look at the fact that there's been some stuff that's come out, like 800 by 600 is not uncommon now.
Yep.
You get true stereoscopic, and that's like in the sub $1,000 range.
Yep.
You know, that's exciting to me.
That is good.
That is exciting. They got that OLED display one that I linked to last year sometime. I want to get one of those because I'm actually a little bit afraid because very soon, you know, within the next year or so, I'm going to upgrade the laptop and I'm going to probably get one of those, like a gamer laptop. You can get those laptops that are all about the games.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm probably going to get that OLED display with it.
Yeah.
And then I'll play like, you know, that'll be it for Sean. It'll be like first-person
he's
shooter.
Gone.
Yeah,
he's
gone.
Gone.
I'll be like sitting there going, wah. But I got to get two of them because I got to get one for the wife too, right? So
she can
run sniper support. She likes playing sniper, right? So it's all good. And, of course, I'm sure there won't be any once, you know, I start showing up on game servers and stuff like that, I'm real certain there'll be people who'll be like, oh, my God! I'll be like, I'll show up, and then it'll be like an entire army of people who just, like, all they do is follow me around and frag my ass.
That's fun.
Yeah, that'll be like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have to hide behind pseudonames.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
No
and
SK
they'll, like,
there.
IP track me. It'll be terrible. So, we got another story here in terrified public news. This is from January 2nd, sent in by Desert Runner. Okay. The New South Wales government has urged a Sydney beachside council to rethink its decision not to fly the Australian flag over the iconic Bondi Pavilion amid suggestions that the move was inspired by racial tensions. So this beach community doesn't fly the Australian flag anymore because they're afraid of racial problems in Australia.
What?
But the Waverley Council's deputy mayor says, Premier Morris Iemma didn't understand the facts and accused Liberal councillors of hijacking the issue for political gain. Mr. Iemma today urged the council to reconsider its 6-5 vote against flying the flag over the heritage-listed building. So what's happening here is because of all the racist stuff that's been going on in Australia, where there's the beachings on the beach, the Muslims, and everybody's all freaking out, the riots down there and stuff like that.
Okay.
This community voted to not fly the Australian flag over this heritage building on the beach because that flag, I guess, is being used as a symbol for Australia and stuff like that.
Okay.
And a lot of these the people who are, I guess, immigrants to the country don't like that. So they are rioting and they think that if they fly the flag, there'll be violence.
Okay. So they're trying to prevent violence by doing this.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Our flag is a symbol of national unity, and the council decision is just ridiculous. They want to reconsider it and reconsider it immediately, he said. Which is funny that, you know, I love it when politicians get pissed off. They need to reconsider immediately.
Now.
Well, you know. If
or we'll just, have another meeting.
Yeah, or we'll have another meeting. There's no excuse for anyone else to be saying, well, because of the incidents, the riots of 2 weeks, that we're not going to fly the Australian flag. This is just ridiculous. Waverley Deputy Mayor George Newhouse was among the councillors who rejected the flag proposal, saying this had nothing to do with racial tensions. We already fly the flag at Bondi. We proudly fly the flag at Bondi, and this decision has absolutely nothing to do with racism or Cronulla, which I guess is the area where all this riot's surrounding.
Okay.
It has everything to do with practical common sense, Mr. Newhouse said. The pavilion is a heritage-listed building and will cost thousands of dollars to perform a heritage study and then erect the poles, which don't exist.
Oh.
We already have a flag. We love the flag. There is no problem with the flag. As far as for council banning the flag, it is absolute nonsense.
So there's no flag there right now?
Apparently
not. They were going to put up one? Or?
Apparently not.
Oh, so they're not taking down a flag then?
No, apparently not. That's what they're saying. Council had first voted against installing the flag March 2005. Mr. Newhouse said to raise it again in December was purely to manipulate the flag and Corolla racism issue. They accused the liberal councillors of taking advantage of the race riots to raise the issue of the flag again, adding, "That is truly offensive." Greens stated MP Lee Rannon said Waverly Council was far from shy from flying the national flag. So this is interesting how they've taken this event. So when you say
spin on
so
it.
You look at it and you go, wait a minute, hang on now. Because when you look at this, you're like, what do you mean you're afraid to fly the fucking flag? And then all of a sudden
it's like...
The
country's flag. Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's a heritage building and they don't know where to put the poles.
Yeah.
Right? So, obviously, why would they put that spin on it? Why would they do that? Because there's a reason for that. That's an agenda.
Yes. Yeah.
So why did they do that? Come on. Why'd they do it? Why did they... Well, because they want to infuriate people. They want to get nationalism on the go. Australia's a very xenophobic country. Don't right. like immigrants.
Yeah.
Right? Don't like the immigrants. Actually, you know, that might be a bit ruthless to say, but if you look at Australia's immigration policy, they're pretty ruthless.
Yeah.
Okay. Some would say that's a good thing. Some would say that's a bad thing. There's pros and cons to it. You know what I mean? But to be trying to whip people up like that, trying to get some anger going on, you know, I could see that in a country that was currently involved in a war.
Yeah.
I could see that in a country where, you know, they are having a bunch of issues and you have to kind of counter some stuff that's going on. I mean, we have this stuff in France.
Yep.
That was happening. There's a lot of buses being torched and stuff like that. A lot of people unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would wonder who's responsible for that. Like, why, you know, never, like, you can notice the spin. That's one thing.
Oh, yeah.
But why
obvious,
is the spin there? Who's behind that? That's what I want.
Yeah, you got to look at behind the scenes what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
What's their agenda? What do they gain from that?
So now we're gonna go to another, well, the source of the Commonwealth there. We're going to head up to Britain next. In what's all this then? Bobby Crackdown News. Okay. In December, this is from December 31st, 2005. Okay, so it's an older story.
Okay.
By about 15 days. Sent to me by Pig Monkey. Okay. British police will be able to arrest anyone for any criminal offense, including minor misdemeanors such as dropping litter, under new laws which come into force on Sunday. So these are the new laws that have come into effect in Britain. I don't know if you heard about this.
I think I heard something.
Until now, police have had the power to arrest only those suspected of committing an offense carrying a sentence of at least 5 years in prison. So if you didn't do something that was worth 5 years,
right.
we don't
if it's
actually
not something
arrest
real
you.
Bad, yeah. Why tie up the court system, blah, blah, blah.
The new law requires that only the police have reasonable grounds for believing that a person's arrest is necessary. The new law, only the police have reasonable grounds for believing that a person's arrest
so
is
So it's
necessary.
Wide open.
Yeah, it's
much.
Like, you're going to jail. This can include a suspect's refusal to give his name and address. What's your name? I don't have to tell you. Bye.
What did I do?
The charges are part of a series of organized, part of the Serious and Organized Crime Act of 2005, which removes the distinction between arrestable and non-arrestable offenses. Offenses have been known, offenses that have until now been non-arrestable include impersonating a police officer, not stopping a vehicle when ordered to do so, and making or selling an offensive weapon.
Impersonating police officer was non-arrestable?
Yeah, so you're kind of looking at that going like, and not stopping a vehicle, like, pull over, fuck you. You know, like, and they wouldn't arrest him for that.
Wow.
Yeah, because, like, that
That's
shit...
surprising.
That shit will get you shot in the States. Yes. It'll be like, whoa, you're lucky not
All
get
those
shot.
Things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Officer?
That's not on. Police will, in future, be allowed to photograph suspects on the street when they've been arrested or issued with a fixed penalty notice rather than the back at the police station. Hazel Beers, the Home Office Minister, explained the change. The introduction of a single rationalized power of arrest simplifies arrest powers. So what do we think about this?
Well, on one hand, there is some things there that, some of those things should be arrestable.
Oh, yeah.
But the stuff at the top of the story, like littering, why? Obviously, it's just a whim law put into place so they can arrest anyone at any time. Not because people are littering, it's because they want to arrest that person bring them in.
I don't think law enforcement's really that draconian. Okay, you don't see cops wandering around, you know, in the church services going, grabbing people for no reason.
They obviously don't do that. But if they wanted to, if somebody up high, somebody said, there's this guy we want to take out, watch him for littering, and then we can bring him in. And then do whatever we want.
Well,
search his house for the rest of it.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that to me, you know,
Because I wouldn't want that in our country, be able to arrest anyone, anytime, for any reason. Just pick him off the street. You're going to jail. We don't have to tell you why. We'll figure it out later.
Well, okay. That's pretty strongly worded.
That's
pretty strongly worded.
But that's what they're saying?
They're saying that they can arrest them, yeah. Yeah, for no reason, yeah.
Yeah,
Well, they have to have a reasoner.
I think a reason is probably a good idea for, you know, taking people to jail and imprisoning them.
I'm going to probably surprise you on this one. I'm not that against this law. I'm not that against this.
You're
I think
happy
that
about I, arresting
well,
for
it'll be
littering,
interesting to follow.
Taking somebody to jail
There's
for littering.
There's a lot of people out there that need to go to jail.
You think that this person is a threat to society, that they need to be locked
no,
away,
clearly
that they're throwing
not.
A
no,
piece
absolutely
of garbage
not.
On the ground?
Clearly not. Okay. But what I'm doing here is that you're looking at this from like a mechanical standpoint. For example, you drop the litter, go to jail. No, that's not how it works. See, what happens is that law enforcement needs to have the ability
to arrest anyone at any time for anything.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, if
Why?
They're breaking the law. Well, you know, this is because they have
for
to.
For breaking laws that you can hand a ticket to them for $5?
Well,
now you're going to jail,
I'm
that's
all
it.
For law enforcement having the power of discretion. You know what I mean? Like I don't think cops have enough power
discretion
of discretion.
With a purpose.
Yeah, not exactly.
Just, not just any discretion. Like
well, okay,
anything.
Well, you go out on the streets right now.
They look them up and down, like, oh, that lapel's out of place. Your collar's not straight. You're going to jail.
Okay, well, if we go to like, the scummy parts of any city, okay, yep. You will walk around, and after doing about 3 weeks on the beat, in there just checking it out, you know where the problems are. Okay, you know where the problems are. You know who's selling the drugs. You know what's going on. Now, the law system, as it currently stands, is designed to protect the criminal. That's the way our law system is designed right now.
No, it's to protect the innocent until proven guilty.
Well, yeah, that's one way of putting it. But generally, when you look at these guys on the street, like these cops, they have to amass this huge case. And I'm just going to go with the way our law system works right now.
Okay.
Okay, the way our law system, and this is localized to British Columbia, Canada. Okay. But right now, we've got a huge problem in Vancouver, where all these criminals are getting picked up, and they're criminals, you know, they're selling the drugs, whatever.
Okay.
And what happens is that in Canada, our judges are not elected, our judges are appointed.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens is that in order for there to be an appeal, like if let's say the judge goes, fuck you, you're going to jail for 10 years, okay?
Right.
The lawyer can then file an appeal, but in filing an appeal, that costs money, and that costs money from the court system. So the people who appoint the judges tell them, do not schedule sentences that will cause appeals because this will cost more money.
Okay.
So they're not even barely even charging these motherfuckers. You know
right.
what I'm saying? They're not getting anything
to
for.
To cut down on costs.
Yeah, they're cutting down on costs. Okay. Whereas somehow the whole aspect of, you know, society and cleaning the streets and getting the scumbags out of here.
It's not important.
That's not really that important.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money, right? Which is making
a little
me go,
ass backwards there.
Not so good. Now, as well. These, like, our legal system, and you got to give me on this one, has been completely overrun by the fucking lawyers. Okay, like, there's people who are guilty of a crime, okay, who are getting off on technicalities and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, now, this law on its own, okay, I'm not a fan of the Gestapo, okay? I don't want people, you know, quaking in their beds that maybe the police will come in and, you know, rape their wives. This is not what I'm talking about here. But I think,
what is this book?
Yeah.
You're wearing glasses, you must be smart.
You are smart, you go to jail, you die. No, what I'm saying here is that I think that we need to, like, because if you look at the funding for law enforcement, especially in this country, it's pathetic. It's fucking horrific. Mm-hmm. You know, the cops are way overworked. They're shell-shocked all the fuck. There's all this attention being paid right now to shell-shock cops or shell-shocked folks coming home from the war. Meanwhile, these cops are scraping people off the road with snow shovels. They're getting shot at. So there's a lot of things. So I think that the cops having the discretion and the power to be able to arrest based upon something like this, I think that in the long run, this will be a good thing.
Because they're hard done by. They need more power.
Yeah, so they can get the job done. That's my logic. This will assist them in doing
get the job done.
Get the fucking
doing
job.
Whatever they want at any time.
That's not
because
what they want.
Feel
they're enforcing the law.
Because they feel this person is a bad person. Not because they saw them do a crime. Because they felt that this person's bad. I know this guy does stuff, so we're going to haul him in.
Yeah.
Not that I saw him do something.
Yeah. Well, if he's guilty, right, then
I don't want them looking at me saying that. I think that Sumerian is a bad person. I know he does stuff.
Okay, there's not a... Okay,
and we caught him littering.
That's paranoid. That is a paranoid... That's totally paranoid.
It's
no cop is going to show up. They'll be looking at you. They'll look at your media. They're like, yeah.
Then why do they need this?
What's that?
Why do they need this?
Because
then?
There's other dudes, the guys who are not Sumerian.
How about they catch people doing crimes instead of thinking somebody's doing crimes? There's enough crimes going on out there that they can get anyone they want.
Well, That's great.
I see
theory,
people doing stuff all over the street in their vehicles, all the time.
Sure, without a doubt. You ever go driving down the street?
There's plenty of people doing bad things.
Okay, fair ball. How about when you're driving down the street? You ever know? You can always tell when there's a cop nearby because everyone like slams
slows
on the brakes.
Slows the fuck down.
Everyone slows the fuck down. You ever notice that?
I always thought it'd be very funny being a cop and you're always driving around and everyone's always
driving slow. That's why they have the domes on the car so they just get to fuck to where they need to go. And if you want to have a really good time, clock the cops sometimes. They speed all the time.
Oh, yeah, they do.
All the time.
Of course.
But anyway, I'm just saying that I think it's,
it'd be great for the cops.
It'd be, well, for law enforcement.
That'd be fun times.
It'd be law enforcement, man. You got to think. Cops aren't out there like, what do we feel like doing today? No, it's not like that.
They don't do that.
It's not Mexico, okay? We don't have corruption on that level. So
there's no need for them to do that, yeah.
So I'm just saying that.
I don't think this is necessary.
I think it's a good tool.
I do.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens in England. We'll watch the case study.
There's no need.
There is a need.
Okay,
have you looked at the streets? Okay, whatever. I'm right. In POW News, Thursday, January 12th, 2006, Washington, newly released military documents show the U.S. Army investigators were close to a probe and allegations in an Iraqi detainee had been abused by a shadowy military task force after its members used fake names and asserted that key computer files had been lost. Documents shed light on the Task Force 626, a special operations unit, and confirmed the existence of a secret military special access program associated with it. The ACLU lawyer, Amrit Singh, said on Thursday. So I guess the documents were released by the Army to the American Civil Liberties Union under court order through the Freedom of Information Act, and they're the latest to provide details of the numerous investigations carried out by the Army into allegations of detainee abuse in Iraq. In a June 2005 document by the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Command in Iraq described its investigation into suspected abuse of detainee captured on December 2004 by Task Force 626 in Tikrit, deposed President Saddam Hussein's hometown. His name was redacted, but he was mentioned as the son of a Saddam bodyguard. Chances are, this guy's dirty. The man was taken to a Baghdad International Airport. Documents stated the United States maintains a prison there for high-value detainees. He told Army investigators that U.S. personnel forced him one night to remove his clothes, walk into walls with a box over his head. That's a college prank. I've seen children do that. Connect a rope around his neck, punched him in the spinal area until he fainted. That's kind of, you know.
Not so good.
What, which?
Punching somebody in the spine until they faint?
Well, that's kind of, you know, you want to try to prove that, you know, I fell down and I fainted, whatever. Placed him in front of an air conditioner while cold water was poured on him, oh god no, and kicked him in the stomach until he vomited. Okay, kicking in the stomach, being kicked in the stomach, and he vomited. So he got kicked in the stomach and he vomited. The document stated, investigators could not find the personnel involved with the man's medicinal files. The case was closed, the file stated. The memo listed the suspected offenses as aggravated assault, cruelty, and maltreatment. This is one of Saddam Hussein's son's bodyguard. Am I correct here? Who's this guy here?
That's what they said.
Yeah. The son of a Saddam bodyguard.
So son of a bodyguard.
Son of a bodyguard.
So not the bodyguard.
No.
Just a relative of a bodyguard.
Relative of a bodyguard. Now, we don't know why he was picked up. All we know is that he was the son of a bodyguard. So that means that he does have access, probably. You know, it's not inconceivable that this guy was involved on some level. Because that cultural thing, family is very important, right? So people, sons of this, sons of that. This kid isn't 16, okay? He's the son of some bodyguard. He could be anywhere from his 20s to his 30s, whatever. And they're like, oh my God, you're pouring water on him. Yeah, smacked him around a bit. And, you know, it's interesting when you check out what the bodyguards of Saddam Hussein were doing. Okay, these guys were doing like SS style shit where they're like torturing women to death and all kinds of stuff like that.
So it's revenge?
No, it's not revenge. What?
Eye for an eye?
No, it's totally not. First of all,
justifiable?
This? We don't have any data. Okay. We don't have any data. We have a guy who's part of the enemy who we picked up and saying, they're abusing me.
Should that not be investigated?
He's the enemy.
So we just beat them and do whatever we want to them? Kill them? Whatever?
Pretty much.
Torture them?
Well, it kind of works like this. Or, like, if you pick up a guy, okay, who's an enemy combatant, who's kind of been geeking all of your friends,
okay,
if they wanted to torture this guy, kicking you in the stomach, punching you a couple times, putting a bag over your head, making you walk into walls, this is not torture.
Is there a limit, though?
I would say, I guarantee that you think that's the worst shit these soldiers could come up with?
No.
I mean, absolutely not. It's skin this fucker alive. Okay, come on. All you got to take a quick tour through Saddam Hussein's pleasure palace. I love this shit. People are like, oh, he took his clothes off and made him cold. Dude, We've got North American prisons, every minute of every day, someone is being raped.
Yeah.
Okay. And this guy's an enemy combatant, and we're like we just got to get some perspective here.
Yeah, but what other people do in other jails in other countries should have no influence about what we do to prisoners. Or should it be an eye for an eye? Should it be revenge? Should it be justifiable?
This isn't about eye for an eye.
Well, then why compare it to other places?
Well, they
do it there, so we should be able to do it. It's all good.
No. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
They're killing other people, and they're torturing women, so it's all okay then.
It's not okay. Yeah. It's not okay. But the point is here, I'm looking at the degree of it. Pouring cold water. I've had worse shit done to me than this when
I
was
yeah. Some of that's like pouring cold water. Okay.
Okay, I have worse than that on a Friday night at the bar. Okay.
Standing like, in the rain. Yeah.
Like, there's people trying to beat my fucking head in. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if these guys wanted to really abuse this dude,
it's quite
you know,
easy. There's lots of ways to do it.
Way
worse than that.
But the fact that they're even classifying this as torture, the fact that that even shows up on the fucking plate, that's on the same page as people who spent time with bamboo growing through their bodies. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
But do they have a book of what is torture, what is not? I know they do.
Oh, there
they
is.
They have listings.
You know, and that's
and
where...
And it's either it's a clear-cut case. Did it happen? And then is it torture?
You know,
but we don't know.
I personally,
but I think it should be investigated because if there is a list of things that are torture, we are not allowed to do.
Right.
We shouldn't turn a blind eye going, no, we're not going to listen to this guy saying he was tortured because no, there's no way he could be tortured.
If this was a civilian operation, I would say absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If it was law enforcement in there going, okay, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But since it's a military operation, I'm a big fan of saying, well, when the military's in charge, the military sorts that shit out, and then they give it back to the civilians to deal with.
Turn a blind eye while the military's doing
the military does its job. That's its job. It's a horrible
then
fucking situation.
Then you come in afterwards, he's dead. We don't care how he got dead.
Well, what's
all his skin is gone. Well, we don't really care
I don't mean specific incident. I mean, like, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't mean, like, this one incident. I mean, like, if you go to war with a country, civilians have no business telling the army how to conduct a war. That's not how it works. You go to war to make the war quick and decisive, and then you leave. Now, of course, there's massive problems with this because we're still in Iraq, blah, 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 blah. The boys need to get the fuck out. But, I mean, all we see here is, yeah, this guy got kicked and punched in the back and blah, 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 blah. Whereas we don't know what the fuck he did. We don't know what he was involved with. Like, if this was a Nazi war criminal, would anybody shed a blind eye? No, it wouldn't. He's listed as a high-value target. We don't know what he was involved in. And so, yeah, they're going to smack him around a bit because they got to interrogate this fucking guy. You know, I mean, that's the way it is. And people need to grow the fuck up and realize what's going on in the world. We got to deal with that. And that's one method of dealing with it. I mean, sure, we could go over there, give him a big hug, make sure he's sleeping in a nice room while our guys are all fucking sleeping in slit trenches. That's fine. You know, I'm sure the ACLU would like that.
So it's fine. Then. It's justifiable.
I'm not saying it is justifiable because I don't have all the facts.
Yeah.
I don't have all the facts. But I'm just saying that people are real quick, real fast, to be like, oh, my God, you punched him. Yeah, that's because you shot three of my fucking friends. So, yeah, I punched him because I couldn't get my knife out of the sheet fast enough to slit his fucking throat.
Well, it is kind of weird. It's like you're going to war. You're killing tons of people.
Yeah.
But then this happens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're pouring water on him.
It's a bit
instead of killing him. Killing him is okay with a gun from a distance. But when you're up close pouring water on him, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's insane.
It's
thinking that way.
So I don't understand. But
if they're going to make up rules, you got to stick to the rules or trash the rules.
This is kind of the classical. You know, it's a great film to illustrate yours. My point is that Under Siege or Siege, not Under Siege. Under Siege is with the Kung Fu guy. But the other one with Siege, it's where Bruce Willis and the black guy. What's
that,
his name?
That black guy, you know?
That black guy. He was.
He's in all the movies.
No, he was in... He was in the new Manchurian candidate, Mr. I'm going to be politically correct. What the hell is his name?
I don't know his name.
Jesus, I want to say Denzel Washington. Is it Denzel Washington? It might be Denzel Washington.
I think it is.
Fuck.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, Mr. Washington. Anyway, but you are black. I didn't know how else to describe you. But yeah, so I think it's Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis in, I think it's called Siege. Okay. And he lays siege to a city, and they have to, like, interrogate people. And he's like, civil liberties. And the army guy's like, no, there is no civil liberties.
Fuck you. We're at war.
It's a great film. It's a good piece of homework.
So they kind of take that argument in the movie.
Oh,
they
totally,
go back and forth.
Totally. I, of course, side with the Army because they're right. In eco-terrorism... You like the way I cut you off there? In eco-terrorism news. We've gone from pirate whaling to now eco-terrorism.
Yeah.
The Sea Shepherd sideswipes Japanese whaling supply ship. I'm just going to burn through this real quick here.
Because we talked about it like 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, because it's an ongoing event. This is happening
this is
now
an update?
As we speak. Yes.
Okay.
The flagship of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, the Farley Mullet, continues to chase the outlaw Japanese whaling fleet out of the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary after sideswiping the Japanese whaling supply ship Oriental Bluebird. Now, I was wrong. It's not international waters. They are actually in Australian waters.
That makes all the difference.
It does. It does make all the difference. But not to these guys. Captain Paul Watson. Captain Paul Watson. The minute all you need to be a captain is get a boat. Captain Paul Watson was ordered. Paul Watson fucking ordered the Japanese-owned Panamanian ship Oriental Bluebird to leave the Antarctic Whale Sanctuary. The Japanese supply ship was waiting to rendezvous with the Nissan Maru to continue offloading whale meat for transfer back to Japan. I informed the Oriental Bluebird that I was acting under the authority of the United Nations World Charter for Nature to uphold international conservation regulations prohibiting the slaughter of whales in the Antarctic Whale Sanctuary. When they refused, we backed up the message by slamming our starboard hull against their starboard hull, end quote.
So the guy
I attacked the ship.
Gloves
bang.
Gloves are off then, aren't they?
There was no damage apparent to either ship aside from a long scratch along the hull of the Oriental Bluebird caused by a device attached to the Farley Mullet's hull called the can opener. A improvised weapon attached. The blow was meant to convey the seriousness of our order to leave the area and stop assisting with the illegal slaughter of whales. So, let me get this straight. We have an improvised ramming device on the front of our boat, which we rammed another sailing ship loaded with people. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. After the collision, the Oriental Bluebird began running with the Farley Mullet in pursuit. They chased them. This is, and these guys think that this article is not by Right Wing Press. Okay, this is from guys who think the Farley Mullet is doing a good thing. Farley Mullet First Officer Alex Carson reported, "We are not down here to protest whaling. We are here to uphold international conservation law. The ship is assisting in an illegal operation that thus has no business in the whale sanctuary." On the stern of the Bluebird, now referred to as the SS Whale Meat,
start that again.
The Oriental Bluebird, now referred to as the SS Whale Meat, is desperately trying to rendezvous with the Nissan Maru ship. That's the offloading ship. The Sea Shepherd believes the number of whales the Japanese are taking exceeds the carrying capacity of the factory ship, and it's essential for the Nissan Maru to offload whale meat in order to continue. There's simply not enough room of the Nissan Maru for the 935 piked mink whales and 10 fin whales.
Oh. So does that mean like they're going to leave them in the water? Or?
No, they're going to offload them and head upstream. Now, let's take a quick look at Paul Watson here, okay? His good buddy Bob Hunter says the following of Paul Watson. This was from June 24th, 1993. So this is from years
back.
He's talking about his new book. He wrote a book called Earth Force, An Earth Warrior's Guide to Strategy. For the record, Paul has sunk eight, as of 93, he's sunk eight illegal whaling ships. One sealing ship, destroyed a whale processing plant, paint-bombed a Soviet trawler, rammed two Japanese drift net vessels, a Mexican tuna seiner, and a Taiwanese drift netter, as well as interfering in a variety of ways with the killing operations against marine mammals in 13 countries. He is also the inventor of tree spiking. Okay.
So he knows what he's doing. And he's done it before.
This guy is a self-stated eco-terrorist. Mm-hmm. Full on. Okay? Who... This is Australia's thing to enforce. Who the fuck is this guy to just go waltzing in there saying, yeah, I'm going to support this mandate? You don't have the authority, guy. You don't have the authority.
Well, anybody has the authority if they back it up.
Not legally. I'm talking about illegally here. Okay, we're talking about legal act. That's like, oh, yeah, well, in that case, I'm just going to go down the street. Hey, you.
It's like going to war.
You're beating your wife, so I'm going to show up and shoot you. No. No! That's fucking total chaos. That's complete anarchy. This guy, without a doubt, if the Japanese showed up and sank this motherfucker, I would throw a party. This is blatant piracy. He's attacking a ship full of people with an improvised weapon, and he's got a history of sinking ships. Why is this guy still free? He's an international fucking terrorist. He's the jackal of the eco world. I can't understand. And now, and this really makes me nuts, is that here in BC, people are like cheering this fucker on. They think he's a hero. And he's going to kill hundreds of people by sinking a ship in Arctic waters. for whales.
Rebuttal?
Do you have anything?
Some people think whales are just as valuable as humans.
Right. Right.
And some people think we are the supreme beings of the earth and can kill everything on it.
If we choose to, yeah.
Yeah, and those people are choosing to.
Yeah, so...
We're going to kill all these whales. And he's like, no, I think whales are just as valuable as humans, and I don't see justification in you killing all these whales.
All right, all right.
So in his mind...
I promise
he's
I
He's like, 25 humans, and you're killing 150 whales, lesser of two evils.
Oh, okay.
Because you won't stop doing that.
Right, right. So would you agree with what Mr. Watson's doing here? Captain Paul Watson? You don't agree with it?
No. That's the last resort to anything is violence.
Right.
Right.
So
obviously he thinks he has exhausted all diplomatic talkings with him.
Yeah, so. I would have to say that this guy's a piece of shit. Paul Watson is a piece of shit. And he's a fucking...
For going towards to something he believes in. Just because...
No, not for going to war for something he believes in. No.
For doing that's, what?
Okay, that's like saying, do you believe that Hitler was a piece of shit for going to war for something he believed in? No. I'm looking at his value structure, his belief structure, his history, his complete history of, like, injuring loggers, okay, due to tree spiking, of choosing, like, of hurting people, of being an eco-terrorist. Yeah, he's a fucking bag of shit, and he needs to be taken out. That's what I'm saying. If the warship shows up and sinks these fuckers, fair ball. Because guess what? Oh, Greenpeace got painted with that. Greenpeace got painted with that. He's the Sea Shepherd Society. He got his ass kicked out of Greenpeace because he was too extreme. So Greenpeace was like, why don't you,
go do your own thing.
Go do your own thing. Now, oh shit, yeah, we got one ship leading the fleet now with Captain Paul Watson and his fucking band of merry terrorists aboard the boat trying to kill people in the Antarctic Ocean. Way to go, Paul.
Not so
fucking good. So, that puts him into the crazy category. Crazy motherfucker with improvised weapons, ramming weapons aboard the ship. That is piracy, it is terrorism, and that is grounds to bring in the military. So if the Japanese send in the military and fuck that ship up, I'm like, fair ball.
It would be very justifiable.
It's required. If they don't, do you know what this kind of a message this sends? That, this kind of eco-terrorism is okay. Because we didn't do anything with Paul Watson. Paul Watson was doing that, so that's fine. It's the same as that burning the SUVs with the kid at the top. You like the way I tied those two together?
That's me.
That was good. I mean, it's exactly the same fucking thing. But we're out of time, luckily, because I could froth them out over this for about 10 hours. And that's all the info I got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next Monday to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive and make informed decisions about not betraying the human race. Thanks to the 62 total donators for the month of November. I don't have the other list. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit andyweek.ca. Yeah, weekly. God damn it. And thanks again to everyone. Their assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories about eco-terrorists, killing people, whatever.
More whale stories, please.
Yeah, more whale stories, please. Please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREEL at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, too bad for you because it's basically just a medley. So until tomorrow, and this next track I'm going to send out to all these like wandering like people, you know, the hippie crowd. This is where I'm starting to really get pissed off with these folks who like have no fixed address, you know, and they're just sort of wandering the planet.
They should
aimless.
Be property owners and pay taxes, damn it.
Well, they should try to benefit society in some fucking way. Yeah. Yeah, that might be a plan. Rather than being some sort of a leech, kind of wandering around, just sort of going,
what if they got their own piece of land and growing their own food? And
fair ball!
Then
fair
not
ball!
A leech.
Okay, then they're not fucking bums, are they?
No.
No, they're not. I'm getting mad. So until tomorrow, that is what server said. And Sim's laughing at me. End of line.
Okay, now in case you haven't heard about this, there was a suspicious set of fires that destroyed 41 luxury homes that were under reconstruction in a Washington, D.C. area suburb. Now, environmentalists had been critical of this development because there were wetlands nearby. Now the FBI is investigating a number of possibilities, including whether the fires were an act of eco-terrorism. Joining me now to talk about eco-terrorism and tell us exactly what it is an analyst and the executive vice president of the Center for Defense of Free Enterprise. His name's Ron Arnold. Could eco-terrorism be behind these these housing development fires in Maryland?
Well, it's entirely not just possible, it's very likely. This is almost a carbon copy of a similar arson of a condominium, huge complex in San Diego in 2002.
Okay, so what are the signs here? For those of us who don't follow eco-terrorism as closely as you do, what do you look out for if it is eco-terrorism?
Well, the first thing you look out for is there some protection of nature motive behind it? In other words, if there's a wild area or a scenic area or something that's not far from it, that gives you the first clue. Another is that it's usually in the dead of night, early morning. There are numerous points of ignition, as law enforcement would say. And there's usually a few days later, making sure nobody got hurt so they can claim it was mere vandalism and not terrorism, then you get some kind of a communique, they call it, saying, yes, we did it, we're the Earth Liberation Front or whatever organization they make up.
Okay, so they usually claim responsibility just like you might find with a terrorist then. So who are exactly these people who have the time and the ill will to do something like this? Are these you know, sort of hippie college kids or who the heck are they?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. We have maybe a dozen people in prison now who've been convicted of these eco-terror crimes, and quite a few of them are 19-year-olds when the crime was committed, and they were college students, but they weren't the hippie types at all. They were people who came from middle-class families, generally. And the odd thing about it is they usually had contact with somebody who was the roaming, wandering hippie type that went and hugged trees and hugged trees and hugged trees.
Bitter enemy. All I want. of life. The